Will you bow your heads in prayer with me, please? God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be acceptable to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. On a fairly regular basis, I'll have folks come to me and ask me, not necessarily for something for themselves, but share with me that someone in their life, maybe a coworker or a friend or a family member, is going through a very uncomfortable and difficult experience, and they're just not quite sure how to share that time with them, what to say, what to do, worried they may say the wrong thing. So, Patty, what do I do and what do I say? And so that's why we've designed this three-week series that we've titled Tool Belt for Tough Times. So we can talk about what it means as Christians. How do we faithfully help another walk through and get through an experience in life? How can we be there and be with them? If I look in Scripture, oftentimes it doesn't list the individual kinds of experiences that people may have that shatter their lives. Instead, often those times are called wilderness. People go through wilderness in times. It's used to describe a time when a person's soul is absolutely dry and parched. When today may be so hard and tomorrow and the future seems totally barren. When as far as you can see, there's nothing but devastation and you wonder if you're ever going to find your way out. And very often in the midst of those wilderness kinds of times, persons feel very alone, even to the point of not even sensing God's presence with them at that time. In the wilderness, you come to the end of yourself as you may have known it all of your life. Life is crumbling and may never be the same, and you may need to find a new normal ahead of you. The wilderness is no respecter of persons. And by that, I mean the wilderness comes into the life of faithful and unfaithful persons. Because we know that in Scripture, we see that even Jesus was led into the wilderness when he had been nothing but faithful all of his life. A wilderness will come into our lives in a number of different ways. Sometimes that wilderness is something that comes because of our own decisions and our own actions. Maybe we chose to do something in our life in a way that God would not have desired. Maybe we've made moral mistakes. Maybe we act unethically. Maybe we just wrongly handled a situation. Maybe we were unfaithful in our marriage, but it was our own decision, which is perhaps the reason for the wilderness. The wilderness also comes sometimes at the actions of others. Sometimes it's because something that someone does hurts us deeply. Business partner who betrayed you. A child who became addicted to drugs or alcohol. A spouse who had an affair. And so finally, sometimes third wilderness comes into our lives. It's just kind of sometimes because of the natural flow of life. In business, companies downsize. A loved one becomes ill. A loved one dies. Wilderness can come when we have transitions in life. We become empty nesters, or we have our children in our life, or we become retired and looking at the later years in our life. All of those ways are ways that a wilderness can come into our lives and the lives of our friends and family. So I think what Scripture guides us clearly as Christians, what to do during these times, is from the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up the other. But woe to the one who is alone and falls and does not have another to help. You know, that's a scripture that I very often have requested to read as a part of a wedding. And obviously a beautiful reminder to that couple of how they're to support one another at all times. But I think that that's not a restriction on that scripture, because I believe that scripture speaks into all of our lives, how we as Christians can faithfully journey with another in our life who has fallen down and needs to have someone there with them and needs to have someone to encourage them to stand up once again. God is gracious. And God will bring people into lives that are in the wilderness. But I think we also need to know that we need to be prepared and we need to be ready to be those persons that God may use in someone's life. The series will be about giving us tools of how to have this experience with another. And the three tools that we'll be looking at for all of us to use when we journey with someone through a wilderness is a tool of compassion, biblical direction, and prayer. Today's scripture that I want us to take a look at comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 8, verses 14 through 15. When Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to serve him. If you look very carefully at this scripture, Jesus is the one who takes initiative all the way through the scripture. Jesus entered Peter's house. Jesus didn't stay away because he knew something was going on. Jesus didn't stay away because he maybe had so many other things to do. Jesus went in and he entered the house and he was physically present with this family who were scared because Peter's mother-in-law was very, very ill. Jesus saw his mother-in-law. When he entered the house, he saw and he experienced what that family was going through. He didn't turn his head, and he didn't ignore it. He saw. And then he touched her hand. He touched her hand. That was a moment of physical touch, which with Jesus has all kinds of authority and all kind of power in it. But we need to remember that he knew the power and importance of a physical touch at that moment. And then those final words of that scripture is to remind us what happens when we live as Jesus lived in this scripture. What can happen? The hope it can bring. Because this mother-in-law got up and began to serve him. He healed, he touched whatever she needed. And she was able to be whole and to serve and to love once again. It's a discipleship story. It's a way that when we share these kinds of experience with others, that we can change their lives and witness to Jesus Christ. So today, as we talk about compassion being an important component of the time that we journey with folks, I want to talk about two aspects that show compassion as we share those with others. And the first one is a sheer presence. Jesus came, and he was there. And sometimes I forget. I think we forget, or maybe we minimize, or maybe we don't realize the power of just going and being. Just being willing to go and be there speaks loudly than any words could ever say. This summer we did a series on said God never said that. And we took a look at some platitudes that we sometimes use in situations when we don't know what to say. And if you go back and look at that, that series is archived on our website and also our Carmel app. And you can be reminded of those platitudes, because sometimes we say things because we just think we need to say something. And honestly, what we need to do is just go and just be present. Just to listen and to just be still. As Martha would remind us, to just be still and be that presence. Allow the person who is in this wilderness just to speak. Is that always easy? No, it's not always easy. Because sometimes in the stillness, what we encounter, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross talks about the five stages of grief, which going through a wilderness, we often see those kinds of experiences, denial and anger, bargaining, depression, finally acceptance. And some of the expression of those stages, it's difficult. It's difficult to share that time with one whom we have known in a different way. That maybe we've never seen this kind of vulnerability in this person. And so it's difficult to be there. But Jesus reminds us just to be there and to just be present. And that's one of the best gifts that we can offer in the midst of these wilderness kinds of time. Talk about physical touch. In today's world, physical touch is kind of a touchy subject, isn't it? In so many ways. Because in today's world, mostly what we think about when we talk about physical touch, we talk about the dangers or the problems that have come out of it. The default place in this world today of physical touch is that touch is bad, touch is wrong, and sometimes it's dangerous. Many daycares and schools have no-touch policies. Residential homes for the elderly have no-touch policies. So understandably, we become a touch-phobic society. We know that there are lawsuits all the time for sexual misconduct. Everyday news of abuse or another sex scandal is out there. We fear our innocent offer of a touch or a hug will be misunderstood. Or worse, it may be unintentional harm to someone. So we shrink away. And we're not as free to offer that gentle touch that speaks so boldly about you're not alone, that I am with you, and that I know that you need to know that you are still so loved and so accepted. A pastor in Virginia said, God made us physical beings for a reason. Our skin is the largest organ in our body. Scripture gives us two powerful examples for the use of touch, for the transmission of power, and so that the Holy Spirit can move through touch. When we look through Scripture and all those situations where Jesus went out and he went out to heal people, how many of those times included a moment of touch? We can go throughout the Scripture through the healing moments, and we can find that. Jesus, as a part of his healing, touched a man with leprosy, a 12-year-old girl, two blind men, a man who was deaf, a young boy, a woman with a discharge of blood, and on, because Jesus knew that he needed to show that touch was an important demonstration of compassion. So when we talk about how to journey with someone we know going through a wilderness, how do we show compassion? Just show up. Just be present. Don't feel like you need to say something profound. And remember the power of a hug or holding someone's hand or just a tap on a leg or an arm that can make a difference. And not only in the healing moments when Jesus went to individuals who were in need of healing, Jesus also demonstrated this exact same act of compassion on the night that he gathered with his disciples. As they gathered together for what would be their last meal together, the Last Supper. And what he did was, first of all, is that he showed up. He encouraged them to plan this meal that they would spend time together. And he stayed with them. And he talked to them, and he listened to what they were saying. Compassion. And the second thing that Jesus did was he shared a healing touch with the disciples who were gathered there. Because before they even took time to break bread together, he paused, and he knelt, and he washed the feet of every single disciple. We always know that as a symbol of servanthood, loving and serving one another's, but it also was an act of compassion because he knew that they needed that touch. He knew that they were going to need healing, and it was another way yet that he offered his presence. And so as we receive communion this day, may we receive it remembering this act of compassion that was given and shared with us. As we gather around the table today, let's begin by sharing in the reading of the words of preparation for today's communion.